Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. I'd like to read the first three verses of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ had just told the apostles some things that really troubled them. Chapter 13, verse 18, he had just said that one of them was going to be the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture back in Psalm 41:9 that says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." And then he said in verse 21 of John 13, he said, "One of you shall betray me." And then in verse 22, the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. They were puzzled. They started looking around and they thought, it can't be him. Well, no, it couldn't be him. Well, I know it couldn't be him. Well, is it me? Then in 13:33, the Lord said, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you," he told them, I'm going away. You can't come. And then Peter questioned him about leaving, and the Lord said in chapter 13, verse 36, he said, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And then Peter told him in verse 37, he said, "Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And then the Lord told him what Peter would surely do. Verse 38, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Peter, you're not as faithful as you think you are. Peter, you're susceptible to fall like all men are. And oh, how those words must have grieved the apostles. "I'm going away. You can't go. You can't go now." And then he told them some words to comfort them. Verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, let your heart not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, obviously, our hearts are prone to trouble. Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born unto trouble, unto toil, unto sorrow, be agitated, stirred. He's born that way like the sparks fly upward. Just happens. It's just there. And the reason because of that is because of sin. Sorrow is going to follow us all the days of our lives. But here our Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. And then He gives them the only hope, the only stay, the only foundation to not let your heart be troubled. Believe me, wait on the Lord. Safest thing that a man will ever do, woman ever do, wait on God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, in regenerating grace by the mercy of God. You believe in God. You do believe in God. That's what He told them. He said, I know you do. He knew their hearts. He knew their sorrows, their hurt, and He knew their love for Him. He knew. He saw their frailties, but He'd given them faith to believe. He said, you do believe God. You know that God's holy and just and good. I know you do. You know God's sovereign. I've taught you that by my Holy Spirit. You know that God demands holiness. You know that. You know that God's shown mercy to you. You know that He sent the prophets. He's given you His Word. You know that He's given acceptable worship, new heart. You believe God. That's a distinguishing mark of God's people. They believe God. Abraham believed God. I've heard it said many times, and rightly so. The devils believe in God. They believe that there is a God. Devils believe that, but believers believe Him. Rest in Him. Wait on Him. You believe in God. Believe in Me. Now this is what He's saying. I and My Father are one. One God. Believe that I am the fulfillment of all prophecies of Scripture. Believe in Me. I am that which Noah's ark set forth. I am your haven of rest. I am your ark of safety. I am that which the rock that followed the nation of Israel. I am the rock. I am the brazen serpent. The one made sin when the people, I'm going to deal with this, Lord willing, in 1 Corinthians 10, just a few minutes, but whenever those serpents started biting the people, we'll find out why God sent those fiery serpents in a few minutes. And the Lord told Moses, said, you take a piece of brass, you make a brazen serpent out of it. And you hold up that brazen serpent. There's the picture of Christ being made what was biting the people. The snakes were a picture of sin. You hold up that one made sin for His people. And you look, and you're going to live. He said, I am the fulfillment of that brazen serpent. I am the antitype, the exact opposite of what the pictures were. I'm the fulfillment of. I am the fulfillment of the shadows from the Old Testament. Believe Me that My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me. I am God. You're looking at Almighty God. You believe that I am. You believe in God, believe also in me. I spoke to Moses in that burning bush. That was me. I'm the one that gave the tablets to Moses. I wrote those with my finger. I was the one in the cloud guiding and directing Moses and the people. Paul said, Philippians 3:10, "Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." You believe in God? Believe also in me, because I am. I am. You look at it. Then He revealed something to them concerning their future state. He said, "In my Father's house," now here's the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in human flesh. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know, isn't it amazing when our Lord reveals something of our future state? "In my Father's house, in heaven, there are many mansions." Now, you know what we know about that, Jeff? There's many mansions, many dwelling places. That's what we know. Anybody that tries to read any farther than that into it is just speculating. Just suffice it to be so. "In my Father's house are many mansions." For the many that He's going to redeem and call out of darkness, keep and have with Him all that the Father's given Him. That's where they're going to be, in those many mansions. God Almighty is omnipotent. Omniscient, knows all things, omnipresent. But he speaks of a place where God's people are going to be. God Almighty, in His house are many dwelling places. Places where we will actually be as we sit with Him on His throne, His bride, eternally with Him, beholding His glory. These things are too high for us. There's just no way we can enter in. But suffice it to say, here's the thing He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. My Father's house, I'm revealing to you for your comfort. I'm going to depart soon. Prepare a place. But I'll be gone temporarily. This place of many mansions, a sufficiency of room. I must go to prepare a place for you." Not that heaven needs preparation. He's got to go to the cross. "I must go. I must die. I must be made sin. I must die as your substitute. I must fulfill the law's demand for justice. Be made sin for you. I've got to go prepare this place for you. I must be buried. I must rise the third day because of He was raised for our justification. Almighty God, who eternally justified His people in Christ, in the one that He saw slain from the foundation of the world, He must ascend into heaven as the forerunner. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, I must go and prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, an everlastingly loved people, chosen in Him, redeemed by Him, regenerated and kept by His Spirit, that where He is, there we may be also. The departed saints that are with Him right now. I do know this. They're with Him, and one day, at His second coming, their souls are with Him, rejoicing with Him, knowing where they are, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know that. But there's going to come a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to receive His people unto Himself, and the dead in Christ are going to come out of the grave. They're going to be changed. It's going to be a new body. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, they're going to say, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Wonderful thoughts. But here's the wonder, comfort, He coming back. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 18 of chapter 14, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come back. He's either going to come back for His people, either in death, their physical death leaving before the second coming, or He's going to come at His second coming. But He said, I'm coming back. I'll receive you to myself. All that He's everlastingly loved, all that He has stood for as the surety, all that He's redeemed, that blessed bride that He eternally married. He said, I've betrothed you to myself everlastingly. Everlastingly married His bride in wonderful, glorious union with Himself. And that precious bride that He saw and knew would fall. When He came to Adam, He told Adam, He said, in the day that you eat, you're going to die. But oh, the glory of redeeming her, paying her debt, putting away her guilt, robing her in Himself. He said, I'm coming back for you. You're mine. I've given myself to you. I have given myself to you. And you've given yourself to me. Regenerating grace. Oh, that blessed, glorious commitment. That honor. Honor of Him giving Himself. Paying her debt. I will come for you. I'm going to come back. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, come quickly. Lord, that where You are, there we may be also. I think about that Scripture that says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those that love Him. Oh, in that blessed day when He receives His people unto Himself. And the Scripture sets forth this terminology, Revelation. It says it. Cast their crowns the crown, the glory of His righteousness to them. Casting their crowns before Him, said, Lord, You're worthy. Thou hast redeemed us. In that day when we truly understand what He's done, put away our guilt, given us His holiness that He earned as our representative, our federal head. Told them what they were by nature. Told Peter, Peter, you're a frail sinner. Without Me, you do nothing. You're gonna forsake Me, Peter. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Me. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. And if I go away, I'm going to come back for you. Who knows? It may be today. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.